Mankind or our animals? Mankind. Verse 25, and which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, then how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek for. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Aren't we glad today that he's chosen to give us the kingdom? Really, that's an awe, mouth-dropping, jaw-dropping concept. That the church, the very thing in which he died for, the very thing that he came to this earth to establish, he left in our hands. Yeah. Because we're just so worth it, right? In his mind, we are. In his mind, we are. But he has gladly given you the kingdom. And you know what? He's given us that kingdom not to take it out and hide it in a field. He has given us that kingdom to share with the rest of mankind. Jesus is teaching about the coming church, the kingdom. Those words are synonymous in scriptures. He is letting all people know that the coming into his kingdom is done by the water and by the Spirit, as he had told us in John 3. He also gives us some foreknowledge insight to his discourse from Mount Olives before he ascended into heaven that we know today is the Great Commission, telling those that were there, there will be a time coming shortly where a baptism will take place in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins and the receiving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And really, all of these things are for entrance into this kingdom. Remember, Jesus talks about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is such as this. The kingdom of heaven is just like that. The kingdom of heaven. And what he's talking about, and so he's preparing us all for that exciting kingdom of heaven. And then it's Peter that opens those gates up for us, doesn't he, on the day of Pentecost. And so we are so grateful. So the first thing we want to consider as we look at this passage this morning is the birds, the flowers, the grass, and kings. The birds, flowers, grass, and kings. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, which begins with the Beatitudes, which begins where this text really is engulfed in, he drew for us the picture of the man with a new heart. How many times in Scripture, especially the Old Testament Scripture, were we told that God doesn't want that old heart, that heart covered in stone, that heart covered in sin, that heart covered in all of those things that detract from our service to the Lord? But he says... that he wants a heart of flesh, one that beats, not one only that beats, but one that is alive, one that is living, and one that can be used for the glorification of his kingdom here on earth. He wants us to have that new heart. Here he places the kingdom of God and his righteousness before temporal blessings such as food and clothing. Remember, he says that these things are better than these. Paul, having apparently, right, knew some of these teachings of Jesus, says almost the same thing in Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, where he says, for the kingdom of God, the church, the body of Christ, that which what we are is not about eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, what he's not telling us here is he's not telling us not to have a carry-in dinner. It's not what he's telling us here. He's just saying that if you prefer those things over this thing, the Lord's Supper, then we've got a problem. Birds and flowers and grass are more beautiful than any earthly king's splendor. Now, I know, if you get to feeling like me some days there in May and June when the grass is growing thick, right? You're just like, and God loves this? You know, this is one of his beauties? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we've talked about that before with the creation. The birds don't have to wonder where to get food. The Lord will take care of them. Those flowers, nothing is more beautiful. Remember, the Queen of Sheba even said that of Solomon, that as she looked at his kingdom, that not even the half has been told, and yet God says, Jesus says, that the kingdom is far greater than all of that. Now, are you happy today to be a part of the kingdom of God? Are you happy to be a part of his church? Do you consider yourself blessed to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ? Because this splendor, this glory, these things that we get to share in are not temporal as the birds, not temporal as the flowers, not temporal as the grass. And kingdoms come and kingdoms go, and presidents come and presidents go, and prime ministers come and prime ministers go, and any other leadership comes and goes, but the kingdom of Jesus Christ will stand forever. Daniel 2:44. Now, I like to hear the birds chirping, as long as they stay away from my car. Don't mind the flowers. Like I said, we already discussed the grass. But Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is Lord of Lords. And he's allowed us to be a part of his eternal kingdom. Number two here this morning. So who is the king in the kingdom in which you reside? This is really a deep theological question with a very simple answer. So who is the king in the kingdom in which you reside? Better be Jesus. But a lot of men live for themselves. They put themselves on the throne. They think it's their kingdom. Some even do that with the church. It's one of the saddest things you hear, and I don't know that people necessarily, but I hear them refer to a certain congregation as such and such's church. So are you seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, his body, his church, or are you seeking something that promotes you? Are we living a life that is pleasing to God or pleasing to our own desires? Are we consumed by worldly desires such as materialism, power, and sensual pleasures? It is a life that is outside of Christ and cannot please God if you are seeking those things. You are only trying to seek and to please your own desires. Paul again says in Romans 8:5, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." In other words, if you're earthly minded, you're going to be thinking on earthly things. But those who are according to the Spirit, remember we talked about in John 3 already, getting the Spirit by the water and the Spirit, entrance into the kingdom. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This is one of those areas where I think we can all do a little bit better. Because we find it in maybe our conversation, our daily conversation. We find it maybe in sometimes what leads to be our coarse jesting. Trying to, you know, make somebody laugh, but at what expense? Are we according to the flesh, sowing things in our mind and our heart, our cardio psyche? Do we sow to the flesh? Because we will reap the flesh. We sow to the Spirit, we will reap the Spirit. Jesus talks about this and what kind of fruit we will produce. You're not going to sow to the flesh and accidentally reap spiritual things, good spiritual things. You're not going to sow to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, those things that we find in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. You're not going to sow to those things and then it come out bad. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's a story of a woman involved in a bitter fight with her husband, and it just continues on and on. And so she decided to seek some professional help from a Christian counselor. And the counselor says to her, "Have you tried heaping coals of fire upon your husband's head?" To which she thought about for a minute, and she said, "No, but I got him with a skillet of hot grease one night." That's not what we're talking about. So are we living according to the Spirit, which produces life and peace, and according to the flesh, which leads, and not according to the flesh, which leads to death and destruction? Just by the simple way that we treat one another, are we living according to the flesh or according to the Spirit? By the way that we treat those that aren't in this building, those that are living a life of struggle, those that need an opportunity for Jesus, do we live for the flesh or do we live for the Spirit? If we live for the flesh, living according to the flesh refers to a life that is self-centered. If you don't understand that, it means you're selfish. Okay? And in one commentary, I found this. You are unrenewed. Unrenewed. And so immediately I thought, and in Christ, all things have become new. And so if we are selfish, self-centered, unrenewed, are we in Christ? It's that difficult task of saying, I'm going to sow to the flesh, but then reap good things, reap spiritual things. It can't happen. It is life that is opposed to God's will and leads to sin and spiritual death. is the one that leads or lives a life according to the flesh. May we not be living in our own little kingdom. Because that's what it is. That's what ultimately, you know, we ask, which kingdom are you residing in? Are you residing in a kingdom that has a world scope? A kingdom that serves all mankind? A kingdom that welcomes all from any walk of life? Or do we live in a kingdom that's pretty small, that has our blinders on, that we only see what's going on in our little world? And it gets easy to do. It gets real easy to do, to only think about self, to only think about what's going on in my life, to think how terrible my life is, to think how wonderful my life is without all those other people in it. Right? Isn't that being selfish? But the Lord tells us how to get away and around those things. That's what our little video was about here this morning, and our last point is entitled, Seek His Kingdom. Seek His Kingdom. It's not the church of Dave. It's not the church of the elders. But seek His kingdom. The simple phrase means to prioritize God's rule and righteousness in all aspects of life. Seek His kingdom. It's a call to live in obedience to God, and to trust that He will provide for all of our needs. As we made mention of this morning, and as we began here in Matthew 6:33, our text, it comes from the Sermon on the Mount, and we more often probably hear it this way, and I like this way better. Not that the other way is wrong, but just me. But seek first. Because see, there are people that love Jesus. There are people that love His church. There are people that want to be a part of His kingdom. But also, though many, some of those same people don't love Him above all. Don't seek His church above everything else. They love Him, but He's just not number one. I'm here to let you know this morning, Jesus needs to be number one, because if He's number two, then He might as well be last on your list. He needs to be number one. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, His will, His good things. As we've said before, and talking about Hebrews, talking about the comparison to the Old Testament, when God the Father looks down upon us, we have clothed ourselves in the Son so that He sees not our righteousness, but His righteousness. It's not our blood, it's His blood that makes us clean. Then it says, all these things will be added to you. Williams Jennings Bryan was Secretary of State in the Woodrow Wilson's cabinet. He was interviewing a man who was seeking a diplomatic post in China. Bryan warned the applicant that it was necessary to qualify as a linguist of this country. So Bryan asked the gentleman, can you speak the Chinese language? The man was equal to the task. Looking Bryan squarely in the eye, he replied, try me. Go ahead. Ask me something in Chinese. You know, we must speak God's language. And the thing is, so many want to speak the language of Ashdod instead of the language of the church, the language of our Lord. We need to learn words like pray and prayer and do that continually. We need to learn phrases like read the Bible, because you know what? We need to get to know that word. We need to get to know what God's word is about. We need to get to know what God's word says. If it is the roadmap that gets us to heaven, then we need to be reading it intently. We need to know words like worship. And what we do is, and that happens 24/7, that's a time of us to give thanks and to praise God. The church needs to know words like repent. Right? Think about that. Remember in the book of Revelation? How many of those churches were told to repent? Repent. Repent. That's what I always said. Hey, if the church at Harlan was given one of those letters, what would it say? Repent! Yeah, because that's what the Christian needs to do. This is reviewing your actions and feeling regret for past or present wrongdoings. Are we bearing fruits worthy of our repentance? This is more than just saying, I'm sorry. This is our life causing us to be changed. As Ryan talked about this morning, making that change. How about share the gospel or Bible terminology, evangelism? Demonstrate God's love to others and invite them to experience a life with Jesus. There are so many people out there, and maybe even some in here, that have spent years and years doing what we call life the hard way. Or maybe just doing life the wrong way. Or maybe doing life the my way type of attitude. See, we need to do life His way. They've done it their way. Encourage them to try Christ's way for a while and see how much better His kingdom is. See how much better His life is. See how much better His righteousness is. And then as we learn in this passage of Scripture, some terminology, fight materialism. I think that's one of the things, at least living in this country, we struggle with and don't even realize it. How blessed we are, the things that we have. We talk about, first world problems rather than third world problems. Oh my goodness, is the internet, could it be any slower? Yes, it could. Right? That's a first world problem. Right? Somebody's leaving a remark on the website right now. The sound's not working. First world problems. Right? Make it in person and you'll get to hear me as much as you want. But we fight materialism. Do not let material things distract you from seeking God's kingdom. Matter of fact, use them as a blessing in God's kingdom. Do you realize that 100 years from now, chances are everybody in this room will be dead? Man, that preacher is one positive guy, isn't he? We'll be 6 foot under. And everything that you own today will be owned by someone else in a garbage dump or will have ceased to exist. How's that make you feel? Right? Yeah. awesome. Remember that at your prayer at lunchtime today. And when I say that, I'm being serious. Remember that. Because then maybe our prayers will change. Because you know what will still be in existence? Your soul. For all eternity. And it matters. And the Lord wants for you to be a part of His kingdom. But you know what? He's not going to force you. He loves you so much that He's given you the free will to choose. Choose this world that is fleeting, that is temporal, that will only be here for a short time, like the grass here today and gone tomorrow, or a life with Him in His kingdom, with His righteousness, for all eternity. You know, there's a plan of salvation that the Lord gives us in His Word. It says that we need to believe in Christ, that we need to repent of our sin, that we need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, that we need to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, and to do our best to live faithfully for Him. And you know how you do that? It's not by living in the world, it's by living in His kingdom. Being a part of the church, being a part of His bride, being a part of the fellowship of Christ, being a part of the family of God. If you're here today and you're outside of the family of God, we pray that today would be your day of salvation. That today would be the day that you will leave all this world behind and come to Jesus. Arms wide open, falling at His knees, or falling onto our knees before Him, thanking Him for being the way, the truth, and the life. For no man shall see the Father without Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being our roadmap to heaven through your word. Help us to be a part of your kingdom. Help us to be an integral part of your kingdom. Thank you for giving us your kingdom and letting us be a part of it. And do our best to draw a lost world into the kingdom that needs Him so much. Will you stand?
Let's sing "Seek Ye First."